putting those search lights up on the tower. Right now. Move, move.
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.
Hello, I'm Herb and welcome to Community Spotlight here on a Friday morning, lovely day in Armidale. And we're shining the Community Spotlight on Black Gully with the help of David Carr. Hello, David.
Hello, Herb. How are you going?
I'm very well. Now, you've been with Black Gully Festival. Now, just explain what Black Gully Festival is first before we get into the history. What is Black Gully Festival?
The Black Gully Festival is a community festival we have here in Armidale every November. It's held in the Black Gully Parklands on behind the New England Regional Art Museum. And it has live music, environment stuff, stalls, activities, all sorts of things go on.
Okay, so let's go back. Now, you were one of the principal people back in 2012 when the Black Gully Festival was first established. Now, tell me, how did Black Gully Festival come about? And I know there's the High Country Urban Diversity Project.
Well, the High Cub Project was a project run across four councils, Walker, Yarralla, Armidale and Guyra. It was run by Landcare and it was funded very generously by the New South Wales Government Environmental Trust program, and it allowed us to do environmental works right across those four regions at a whole lot of different sites. And one of our sites was Black Gully, which is a tributary of Jimmarik Creek running through from the cemetery down through the back of Taz and down to the racecourse. But it flows here behind Neeram from the railway line down to Taylor Street. We did some work there looking at getting rid of the woody weeds in there, replanting, just fixing up the site so it improved the environment and also made it a nicer space for the community to use.
So Walker, Armidale, Guyra and Yarralla, and you told me before it was a $2 million project from the Environmental Trust.
Yes.
So you were the director.
That's right, yes. I worked for Landcare during that period. Where we're sitting today used to be the Greening Australia Northwest office, and that was sort of in the late 90s, early 2000s, and we started doing plantings just out here out the back of the studio on the creek. So those plantings go back before the High Cub project, which started in 2010.
What other projects were in Walker, Armidale, Guyra and Yarralla at the time?
We had really good local community committees that looked at what they wanted in each of their areas, and they selected the major projects and then minor projects. So in Walker, the major project was fixing up the bed of the Apsley River. So the Apsley River has a really big levee bank as you go through town, because it used to flood there. The river turns a sharp right-hand bend. So we did a lot of plantings in the river, but they had to sort of fit into the able to be flooded because it gets pretty high flow there. So we did that, and it's still there and looks really good all through there. A lot of plantings in the riverbank and on the surrounding floodplain. Yarralla Creek had a lot of erosion on the creek. It's the headwaters of the Rocky River. There's really bad erosion going through the couple of parks in town, so we did a lot of rock work there, a lot of rock revetment, a lot of planting through there. Armidale, we had a number of projects. We did a lot of work on the Jimmarik Creek. You'll see a lot of plantings down there on the creek, which continued the work of the Armidale Urban River Care Group. But Black Gully was also one of our sites, both here at behind Neeram and also down behind the Armidale Tree Group in the Mike O'Keefe Woodland Reserve. And in Guyra, we worked in the catchment of Malpas Dam. So there was a creek that was feeding a lot of sediment into Malpas Dam, which is our water supply. And we did a lot of rock revetment there and a lot of planting and a lot of fencing to keep livestock out of that particular creek. So they were just some of the projects that we did. There were, I think, 70 different projects that we did throughout that three-year project.
So bringing that all together, you decided to have a music festival. So why?
Well, at the end of a project, you've got to make a report. We had a 6-inch thick paper report we sent off to the funders, but we also had to do a presentation to the community. So there were all the stakeholders who'd been involved, the various councils, the various community organisations. So rather than, you know, hire a hall and have some dry old PowerPoint slides, we thought we'd try and get a bigger group in to find out what we did. So we put on the music festival, and that enabled us to, you know, put up displays of what we'd done. We had all the partners, all the groups that were involved had stalls. They were able to talk about their role in the project. We didn't have to have too many PowerPoint slides at all. And we got 500 or 600 people there at that first festival to find out what it was all about.
So tell me where the 2012 Black Gully Festival was held, the first one. Where was it held?
Yeah, so one of the activities was to clean up the creek clean up Black Gully itself. And that meant getting rid of a lot of woody weed growth and blackberries. The site had previously been the recreation area for the Armidale Teachers College. So there was all sorts of sporting facilities here, and there was a stage, concrete slab stage, that had been used for presentations and had been used for drama and music performances when it was the Teachers College. And as part of our work, we uncovered the stage, literally uncovered it, dug it out from blackberry bushes, chased three brown snakes away, and had revealed this stage with a working three-phase power box at the back of it. So we thought, well, this is what better place to do than to reactivate this stage, which hadn't been used for probably 30 years, and invite the community back to use this really important public space.
So you said 30 years. Now, this takes us back when it was previously used, back into the Sunray Sunday days.
That's right, yeah. So there was at that stage, the 1987... The Teachers College and the UNE were merged. They were now part of one entity. UNE had this Sunray Sunday event, used to be on in towards the end of the students' year, and it was held up at the back of Robb College for a while, and then in 1987 they held it here on this stage, and I was playing in that festival with I was in a band called Maxwell Street, and we performed on that day, and we were halfway through our set, and there was the heavens opened, and there was a massive thunderstorm, and everybody ran away, and we had to turn the PA off, and that was the last public performance on that stage before we did the Black Gully Festival.
So you were doing it in February for 2012-2013?
That's right, yeah.
And then you moved to November.
Yeah, we had two of our first three festivals in February. We got hit with big thunderstorms, and it's that time of year when we get a lot of thunderstorms in Armidale, so we looked at when we wouldn't, and November came up, and we've done it in November ever since.
So it's been pretty successful, 2014 in November up to 2020, when COVID was in its prime.
That's right.
And what did you do for COVID?
Well, COVID, the big restrictions came in March, so that gave us time to rethink what we were going to do. We knew we probably wouldn't be able to have a public event, so we did a Facebook live broadcast. We had some people with the technical ability to do that, so we set up in the gallery at Nearham. We had three acts performing, local musicians, and we did a whole lot of interviews with people, and we did a Facebook live broadcast.
So that's 2020. 21, you came back on to Black Gully.
Yeah, that's right. We were able to, the restrictions lifted enough for us to do 2021. But then 2022, the restrictions were back in, or they were off, or they were on again. So we just didn't know whether we'd be able to do it. So it got sort of towards the middle of the year, and we just made the call that it was too risky to do it, because we have to raise all our funds from the community. There's no, we don't get a lot of grants. We don't charge people to come, so it's pretty high risk if you raise that money and then you have to call it off the day before. It just wastes all that money.
So 2023 was pretty successful. You thought 2,500 people?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I know it's hard to gauge, but moving from 2012 where you had 500 or 600 people, and I think it was a fantastic idea, because I have seen presentations where only, as you said, few people in a hall watching a PowerPoint, to having 500 or 600 people enjoying the whole end of the project, I suppose, and a little bit of a party. And now 2023, 2,500 people. That's a big outcome.
Yeah, that's right. So it's steadily grown, and it's gone up and down. You know, we've had big years and we've had quiet years. This year was a bit of a quiet year. Interesting, because you get different audiences through the day. You get people early in the day with kids coming along, and then later in the day they'll take the kids home, and they'll come back, and you know, in the evening you'll get different families coming at different times of the day. It's a bit hard to pin down the numbers, but that's our best estimate.
So tell me some of the things that you remember as being really positive elements throughout the years 2012. So I know we talked about off air about the Beyond Empathy in 2015. What was that about?
That's right. So Beyond Empathy was a community group looking at mental health, particularly with young people, and looking at all sorts of things, from alcohol to drugs to social engagement. And one of the projects was a series of workshops led by Aboriginal rap musician David Lahar, who ran workshops for local young people and got them involved in this music and telling stories through music. So they did those workshops all through that year, and then they used Black Gully as their final performance. So they had a they had about an hour on stage, and they got lots of people who were involved in the project to come along, and then they all those people were able to perform. So it's a really good example of putting on a festival, and then other people can use it for their ends as well.
2013 was the big birthday bash. What was that?
Yeah, that's right. So NIRAM and Armadale Tree Group have always been partners in the festival. So it's put on by a whole lot of organisations, including Musicians of Armadale and Sustainable Living Armadale and Landcare. And in that particular year, we had the Tree Group had its 30th birthday. NIRAM had its 30th birthday. There was a 75th anniversary of local government, or I can't remember what the actual anniversary was, and UNE was turning 75. So we made it a big birthday party. We had a big birthday cake for everyone. Yeah, it was a celebration of all those different organisations.
Again, another example of everybody coming together and using Black Gully as the carrier to promote what was going on.
Yeah, that's right.
So another one was 2016, you got a federal arts grant.
Yeah, that's right. Through Festivals Australia, we got a grant to run an art project in conjunction with the festival, and we partnered with Eco Arts Australis to do that, and we got four local and national artists doing ephemeral art, so art that is temporary and disappears. So we had a performance artist doing building gardens, eco-scenography it's called, building gardens, doing performance around those gardens, and we've still got relics of that sitting in the bushes down there in the back of Black Gully. We had an artist doing sculptures out of things like gum nuts and building them around the place. Andrew Parker, a local artist from Yooralla, we dug clay out of Black Gully for some work we were doing, fixing up the pools down there. It's a very black clay. That's where the name comes from. So we dug that clay out, and he took some of that home and made clay sculptures out of it. But we put seed of local species in the clay, and then he put those sculptures out along the creek. And then as they dissolved in the rain, the seeds came out and they germinated. And now there's trees growing from those little sculptures.
What a fantastic idea. Very ephemeral. Not only that it breaks down, but also that it actually provides life, future life, as a result of it breaking down.
Yeah.
So you basically were on this side of the creek at the Teachers College stage for all that time. But in 2023 was the first time you moved to the other side, and that was because it was very wet.
Yeah, we'd had those three wet years in a row, and It was too wet to drive on, and we need to get vehicles in to load equipment and set up stalls. And also right out the front of the stage was a giant swamp, so it wasn't all that attractive for people to sit there. And we'd just been finding that the visibility of the stage was quite limited, because since it had been used, this massive mountain gum has grown up in front of the stage. We didn't really want to chop that down, so we just moved across the creek, and we've got two stages on a truck there now.
No, it's a beautiful spot amongst the pistachio and the pin oaks there. Beautiful, shady, particularly come November, October, November, you've got great weather. It was great weather this time. Now, let's go back to these elements where you use the music festival to promote the end of a project, have people talking about things. You've actually still done that the whole time, and you referred to it as a Trojan horse. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's right. So most of the organisations that are involved in the festival have a strong environmental ethic or a strong community ethic, you know, trying to build our community, strengthen ties within the community, particularly within and between organisations. And so if you just put on an event that said, come along and see these environmental things or see these community things, you're going to get a very limited audience that's going to come along to that. We want to reach people that haven't been reached by those sort of messages in the past. So putting on other activities that attract people, they'll come to listen to the music, they'll come to see the stalls, they'll come to, you know, have a fun day on the creek. And while they're there, they get to look at, you know, displays by some of these environment and community organisations. They get involved in art activities, and they see what other organisations are involved, and it gives them opportunities to get involved in those organisations. So it's a way to get messages out to people who wouldn't normally get those messages, and it's also a way for groups and individuals to work together and then build ties that then last through the year.
So that goes back to those four elements: the community, bringing community together, promoting the arts in our community, the environmental message, but also the music. But the music essentially is the carrot, but you're also promoting local artists. But this year you had Music New South Wales and Arts Northwest on board. Now, how did they get on board, or what did they do?
That's right. So we've traditionally done it as a only local artist, you know, so only within the New England region, and it's it's building that musicians community. So we have a community group called the Musicians of Armidale that helps to try to, you know, create opportunities for live music. And it gives new artists a chance to perform in a festival environment where they wouldn't normally get that. This year we were approached by Arts Northwest and Music New South Wales to link up with a project that they were doing, which was helping regional artists to develop skills to tour. And they had these three artists that were touring, and they asked us if they could put those artists on at the festival. And we thought, well, it's a good opportunity to build that community, to reach out to other, you know, musicians in the region, and for local people to sort of learn from some of those other ones coming in. So we had these three different artists for the first time, and I think it went well.
No, they are very good artists. So we might sort of round it up in a minute or two. Tell me, what's the future? Any ideas for the future? I probably wonder November, given that there's so many things in November, and it was a beautiful day, Black Gully, to come along, that the numbers were a bit down, but you had a lot of competition in November.
Yeah, that's right. November's become very crowded with other events. You know, we've now got the Garden Festival. Antique Machinery Club has their event on the same weekend. There's the Steiner Fair. There's all sorts of things going on in Yooralla and Walker. So maybe it's time to move it a month earlier. Part of the thing about Black Gully is it celebrates coming out of that cold, long winter and the dark days, and it's nice to be able to get out in the sunshine. So, you know, October would still allow us to do that.
So, yeah, September's a bit cool. Mm. October's the perfect as long as it's not on a long weekend, because we know that Armidale disappears on a long weekend over the coast, particularly as soon as you come out of the winter. But, yeah, moving it to October and a little bit of distance and breathing space from other events would make sense, I think.
Yeah, that's right. We're really open to, you know, any ideas about how to progress it. It's basically been organised by a core group of five volunteers. All of us work full time. We're all very busy people, and it's a huge thing to put on every year. So we're always looking for people with new ideas and new energy to come along and get involved, and, you know, come up with different ways to do it. We're not, you know, fixed on anything in the program particularly, or even the time these days.
It's been fantastic that you've been able to keep it going, except for the COVID period, where you stopped, and you stopped once, but you're also able to go to a Facebook in 2020, but 2012, so we're talking 15 years of a Black Gully, and we expect another 15 quite easily into the future.
Perhaps not out of me, but, you know.
Well, that's why you need a bit of a planning where other people to come on board and help out and get involved.
Yeah, that's right. And it's, you know, it's continually evolving, and we get different organisations involved, so it's been great having 2ARM involved the last couple of years. Armidale Council's been getting much more involved in the last couple of years, so we hope that we can continue to add partners to the running of it.
Well, thank you, David, for coming in. Black Gully is certainly a gem in our local calendar of musical events and community events, and I wish you all the best with what's to the future, and hope 2ARM can be a part of that.
Thanks, Herb.
Thank you. That is Black Gully and Community Spotlight.
Broadcast then podcast. If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2arm.net.au/podcast. I listen to 2ARM 92.1 FM in the car and at work for great tunes and community news.